Blog Talk Radio.
What kind of music? Kind of guy. What kind of takeoff? Hey. Call me what you want, but I bet you can't call me broke. Nah, bitch, I spit dope. I was born with the antidote. They talk about me like a hoe, with my back against the ropes. Flexing like they really with me, but really hate on the low. I've been low. You were hating on the low. I've been low. They were hating on the low. I've been low. He was hating on the low. I've been low. Hating on the low, I been new, I been soft. Niggas flaw, niggas fake, but it's straight, nothing to say. I'm busy getting that cake. How you my nigga when your true colors show that you fugazi? Paid attention, I seen it coming and witnessed it daily. Whole scratching, they messy, bitches be broken, be petty. Hate on the low in this show, cause they hate the way I get fed it. But I'm so up with my hustle, staying down, got me every penny. 19, have a penny, hurt me so bad, can't forget it. No, 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 can't forget it. So I wake up and go get it, really from city to city, state to state, that where I'm going. Country to country, they know it's coming, they know I'ma blow. I'm worth a billion, put off some millions, I flippin' for show. I took some losses, it cost me chances, I took for this spot. I put it all in the pot, fuck it, just look at me now. I'm worth a whole lot of K, I was broke, now I'm straight. I done grew up with my faith, so stay the fuck out my face, Lord. Call me what you want, but I bet you can't call me broke, nah. Bitch, I spit dope. I was born with the antidote. They talk about me like a hoe, with my back against the ropes. Flexing like they really with me, but really hate on the low. I've been low. You were hating on the low. I've been low. They were hating on the low. I've been low. He was hating on the low. I've been low. She was hating on the low.
I said one time for the one time, cause they hate now. Two times for the two times, cause they fake now. Three times for the three times, cause I'm straight now. Now I'ma get money every way and every day now. Put the nigga start hating. Fuck nigga, why you flagging? You can tell I'm straight, you ain't need much, gotta ask me. I done came home, ran it up, now I'm on go. Jealousy and envy, got no boy hating on the low. But I been new, that they were hating on the low. I see through all that fake light window, but I'm D'd up from the feet up. I need pesos, I re-up with that re-up from the same dope. My feet up, got my teeth up, and you still broke. My feet up, got that teeth up, but you still broke. You still broke, fuck niggas, you niggas know what it is, niggas. We getting real money over here, niggas. This Canada gang, they gon' fresh out.
Call me what you want, but I bet you can't call me broke, nah. Bitch, I spit dope, I was born with the antidote. They talk about me like a hoe, with my back against the ropes. Flexing like they really with me, but really hate on the low. I've been low. You were hating on the low. I've been low. They were hating on the low. I've been low. He was hating on the low. I've been low. She was hating on the low.
Yo, what's happening? Welcome back to Real Talk with the new Miss Lovely Black and my awesome sauce co-host Mo Benz. What it do, Mo?
Yo, what's up, Black? What's up, people? What's up, world? I'm ready for another edition, man. World famous chop up, you already know. So, to the people out there listening, man, roll something up, light something up, pour something up, come kick it with your people. It's a Sunday fun day. You know how we do.
Yes, sir. So, shout out to our top five countries tuning in. No changes, but I see y'all doing what y'all doing. I see the consistency. It's also amazing. I do see a caller on the line. I will check in with you once we get past the little beginning phases. But salute to everybody tuning in across the world. I know in no specific order, top five countries, United States, Switzerland, Australia, United Kingdom, and South Africa, right?
Wow.
So salute to everybody tuning in, turning up, you know, doing this with us every single week. Now, tonight is one of my favorite spaces because it's the Real Favorites Chop-Up, so it is Mo's show tonight. And I've been stupid busy this week. So the break is much needed. My day has been, like, bananas today. Just getting into a lot of projects. Just a lot of things are coming at me. You know, I'm happy. I'm taking advantage of the things that are just falling in my lap. So that's a good thing. The kids came back this week. Right. So it's me and my riders. We back at it. You know, I had a class to do, Soul Food Sundays, which is normally the second Sunday in the month, but we had to push it back because of I was supposed to get the kids last week, and I didn't get them till Friday. So Soul Food Sundays, that was a good thing. And let me see, what else did I do? I had to cook dinner, and then I had a class this morning. I thought it was going to be a short class, but it actually, like, lasted from, like, 10 a.m. to, like, 2:30. I felt like I was in church. I was like, oh, my God. But, you know, it was some good stuff. It was some good stuff. You know what? This week is going to be called Removing Clutter. Okay. I'm only focused on purposeful connections. No matter how you may feel, no matter, you know, how much you feel like something makes sense, if it is not purposeful, like, I just do not have the energy for it. And so leading with your mind versus your heart, right, is very important. You know what I'm saying? Because, see, your heart, you know, and your soul, like, they're connected. They recognize these connections. They recognize certain things. You know what I'm saying? Your heart and your soul. And so, you know, your mind is your Ori, right, that came, and your Ori knows things that you don't know. That's why they say always listen to your first mind. It's your Ori speaking to you before you go. Your head is speaking to you before you go and make a move. And so this is mindful decisions and mind over matter decisions. And that's the energy that I have to move in going forward, right? This is the energy that I have to focus on going forward. Mind over matter versus heart over mind. You know what I'm saying? And that's friends, that's family, that's everything. The connection has to be purposeful. The connection has to you know, it has to bring high vibrations and positive energy to my life, or I don't want it. When you have certain connections that, you know, every time you talk to somebody is draining, that's showing you that that's not what you're supposed to be dealing with, you know. And so no matter how long you've known somebody or how long y'all been friends and how long y'all been in a relationship, none of that stuff matters when it's at the expense of your frequency, when it's at the expense of your energy. And so me getting back into that energy, this is why I'm so in hermit mode. But the one thing is that I said I wanted to start getting out more. But when I get out, I start to see people, you know, and how they act, and that makes me realize, like, this is why I don't like people. this is why I'm so secluded, right? Because of how people, you know, really, really are. So, you know, back to shutting down, back to being focused on work. If it's not serving me any higher purpose, if it's not bringing me high vibrations, if it's not bringing me knowledge, right, I just really don't need it, right? I don't need to be a part of anybody else's problems. And that's just where I'm at, you know. My problems, I don't bring anybody on them. I don't want to be a part of anybody else's problems. So that's the energy. You know what I'm saying? Renewing my space and making sure I'm aligned. So, yeah, how was your week?
Yeah, so my week, I'm calling it productive. You know, my interior decorating, it was strong this week, you know what I'm saying? So that was good. Vintage Nubian, big shout out to me and my wife's business. You know, I feel like, you know, it's getting on the right track. I feel like I'm an angel investor, what they call it, venture capitalist. Like today, we had like a pop-up event that was out in the city. You know what I'm saying? It's like 86 Florida, kind of like uptown or whatever. So, you know, went up there and handled business. And then I got a chance because I wanted to, like I said, make the day productive. So once we set up shop over there and my wife was holding it down, you know, I went to the Bronx to view this apartment that I'm going to probably promote or whatever, see if I can go ahead and rent that joint. But while I was in the Bronx, I got a chance to just go to some of my old stomping grounds because I used to work out there. You know what I'm saying? So I went to, like, one of my old restaurants. It's called CeeLo's. Big shout-out to CeeLo's on Soundview Avenue in the Bronx. It's just a different vibe up there. It's not my energy totally. Like, I could never live there, nothing like that. I wouldn't want to work there anymore. But, you know what I'm saying, just I got a little ties to the Bronx, you know what I'm saying, being that I worked out there for a few years. So that was cool, you know what I'm saying? And then I'm really feeling where this Twitter space can go. You know, having a hand in hand with you know what we do here. You know, big shout out to the homie Kez, big shout out to the homie Lump. You know what I'm saying? Working on some big things with that, you know what I'm saying? We can get some more you know what I'm saying, some more guests on the show, whatever. And I'm just linking it, man. I'm loving Twitter, man. Big shout out to what's his name? Musk. I can't even think of his name right now. Elon Musk. Yeah, Elon Musk, man. You know what he was doing. You know what I'm saying? So I just think he's just bringing – I mean, Twitter's always been there, but I think with him, like, putting his name to it, it's, like, really about to take Twitter to another level. So, you know, I'm excited about that. And today was long, man. Today was
so did he buy it? Did he ultimately buy Twitter?
That's the thing. Like, I believe so, but then I saw something that was, like, it was something that was hanging up. But, I mean, I think it's pretty much done. It's kind of weird. I got to, like, dive into it a little bit. But I think it's pretty much a done deal for the most part. But, yeah, and then today would have been one of those days where I would have loved to just kind of wind down with a nice, like, drink or something. You know what I'm saying? But I've been on my detox. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I've been on my detox, my fitness. You know, so no Red Bulls. No drinking, no weed smoking. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying I won't ever again, but I'm more of a social drinker now. You know what I'm saying? If it's not like an event or, you know, some you know, family or friends coming through and we just chopping it up or, you know, we taking it somewhere, then I'm kind of like leaving that alone. But yeah, that's my week, man. Just productive. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man, just keeping it going. You know what I'm saying? Keeping good energy, connections, and networking.
That's what's up, man. That is what's up, man. So some positive energy, high vibrations. I love it. I love it. I love it. We're going to see who this caller is on the line before we turn over the show to the world-famous chop-up and celebrity news. Hi. Thank you for calling Real Talk with the new Miss Lovely back in Mo Benz. Who am I speaking with?
Hello, good evening. My name is Kev. I was just checking you guys' show out. I actually know Mo Ben.
Okay.
Him and I are, you know, business associates. So I was just checking out the show for the first time to see how things go.
Welcome.
He was actually the person that, I'm the person that he shouted out with the Twitter spaces that we're trying to do later on. So, you know, I was just checking out the show, seeing you guys' format. You know, and if I have, you know, I know you guys have some interesting topics tonight. So if anything, you know, if I want to chime in, I'll definitely chime in if you guys will allow me to. If that's something that you guys are willing for me to do.
Nope. Yes, sir. So you could just mute your phone because I'm going to leave you open, and if you want to jump in and have a conversation, then you know, feel free to do so. And welcome.
All right. Thank you very much.
That's what's up.
All right. Well, so look.
What's up? So
I'm turning over the show.
Wait, hold on.
As you guys know.
Hold on, Black. Hold on. Before we turn over the show, you know, I got to ask you this. You know what I'm saying? I got to say this. I got to set it up for the show. You know, before I get into the world famous chopper, because, you know, I got some topics that I'm going to chime in on and discuss. I'm going to be kind of freestyling. I'm going to be honest with you. Like, this week was a busy week. I did get a chance to write down some interesting topics, but I'm going to kind of be freestyling, like just coming off the top of the head. So just bear with me. But before I get into that, Black, was there anything that you was tripping on this week that you just wanted to, like, have a say? You know what I'm saying? Real quick,
Yeah, it was one thing that I was gonna trip over before I got gold. But you know, as you guys know, the last Sunday in the month is Mo Ben Sunday. This is where he covers all of the topics that he has been tripping on and the topics that he saved, you know, throughout the month that he couldn't get through to in his normal Sunday session of the World Famous Chop Up. And it's going to be great. So you guys know I generally disappear around this time. But there is one thing that I wanted to touch on, right? One thing that everybody is talking about. It's absolutely funny to me. The overturning of the Roe versus Wade, okay?
Yeah, I to hear your take. I know you're going to have an instant take, so the floor is yours.
So listen, off top, when I see that the Democrats are mad about something, then I know it's something good. Like, it's something for the people, okay? When we think about Roe versus Wade and, you know, the people who it's really affecting, see, black folks, we just conversation starters. We just people to put it out in the mix. But, you know, if you're the minority and they're the majority, how much do you really think it affects you? Overturning this gives each state the ability to govern their own abortion laws, okay? So they're not saying, oh, you can't have abortion. They're saying each state has the ability to govern their own abortion laws. It's no longer, you know, governed by the federal government, which I feel is a great thing. The thing that you guys fail to realize is that 60% of the fetuses that are aborted are from white people. But they don't talk about that because, you know, colored people, it's the thing that black people business, do you want to put your business out there? You want to be the ones that's always talking to seem like you matter. And you didn't even know that, hell, they was aborting kids faster than y'all were. They was getting rid of kids faster than y'all. And the reason that this is really overturned, right, when you look at the basis of this, is that the white population is declining at a high rate. Why? Because you only see killings in the news. You only see black-on-black crime in the news in real life. You only see how the white folks go and kill multiple black people, which these things are also staged. Let's talk about them. The white people are declining from drug overdoses and suicide. Those are the highest, the two highest things that they are, you know, declining for. And then they're not having children at the same rate that we are because they abort, you know, they abort so many of them, right? Your teen girl, she's out having sex, you get pregnant, oh my God, that's going to look bad on the family, you got to get rid of it, go to college to become, you know, a good person, whatever the case may be. So, therefore, when we see these mass shootings and they see these white people going into black crowds and they're, you know, trying to kill off people, they're trying to make a statement and make a point. So them overturning this, right, doesn't mean that people will not be able to get an abortion. It doesn't mean that. It just means that certain states, you know, you may not be able to get one after a certain time. That's basically all it means. So for people to be so appalled, I feel like the lighter your skin, the more angry you are. For people to be so appalled at saving babies, it's just beyond me. It's almost like, you know, anything that the Democrats seem to be angry about or support, if they support it, I don't. If they're angry about it, I'm happy about it, right? Yes, this is something that Trump did, right? And then so for them to be angry and give you this agenda, they feel as though you're still lost and you're still blind and you don't understand the whole premise of what's going on, right? So because they're mad, they're expecting, you know, you to be mad. Oh, let's blame it on Trump. Yes, blame this one on Trump. Because as I tell you guys, Trump has did more for you colored ungrateful folks than in a long time for any president. But yeah, you got Sleepy Joe in the office. You know, how about those student loans? I know y'all feeling good that, you know, he canceled all student loans like he promised, or did he? You know, how are you feeling about being able to buy property in the same area as white people and get the same interest rate? Because I know that he said that he wanted that type of, you know, that type of opportunity for everyone else, right? But that didn't happen either. Just, you know, mostly anything that he talked about or campaigned for, none of those things happened, you know? So I think this is a great time to pay attention to the actual angles of Trump. Like, what was Trump's actual angles, right? What was he really getting at? What was he telling us without telling us? So, you know, I support it.
Good point.
That's my opinion, to support it. You know, I am pro-life. You know, I feel as though people need to take more accountability. If you know that there is a chance that something can happen if you do something one way and you still consider doing something one way, you know, these people are murderers. You know, these people are killers. You know, and because it was okay to do it, because it was deemed legal, that didn't mean it was right. I just feel like it was a great decision. It was a great move from Trump. Especially to save their race, and not to say that, you know, I'm not, you know.
What's up?
I'm not into it to the point where, turn that water off in there. I'm not against anybody, you know. So, you know, I'm pro-life. I want everybody to live. I want everybody to, you know, flourish. So that's my take on it. It's just funny to see all these people talking and trying to prove a point when you're not really breaking down the Roe versus Wade case altogether, because I feel like even the people that I've seen trying to break it down, they sounded stupid. But that was all.
You know, like I said, yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I'm going to just piggyback off that. So the Roe versus Wade, you know, yeah, it's kind of, you know, I'm glad you were giving me some, you know, some knowledge on it, because, you know, I'm like on the outside looking in with it. But I know, just reading a little excerpts, I know, like, it was, you know, basically the overturn, so it's not a federal thing, you know, now it's going to be state to state. I'm just going to say this, man, I'm just happy that, you know, I know how to have sex now, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, if you are one of these states where it is, you know, outlawed, and you got to go to another state to now have an abortion, if that's the case, you know what I'm saying? You just got to really, sex education is going to be very important now, you know what I'm saying? Like, because I just was learning on the fly, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to be honest with you, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I done had my situations or whatever. But I do think a woman should have a right to choose. But then again, at certain points, I am kind of pro-life, but I still think ultimately, the woman should have a right to choose. It is her body. I can't see somebody being locked up because they didn't want to have, you know, they wasn't in the right situation. I mean, and granted, like I said, that's why sex education is going to be very important. But, and like I said, I'm just reading the tea leaves, so I don't know how they're supposed to do it if it's like a rape situation and, you know, or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Because that could be a sticky type of subject too. So, I mean, it is going to be interesting. I mean, times is changing, man. You know, you got this being overturned now, and, you know, the legalization of marijuana, and just, you know, it's just a lot of different things. It's just kind of, you know, what was right before is left, and what was left before is right. So, you know, it's just an interesting time that we're living in. And then, of course, Joe Biden being president right now, like, I was never a fan of this guy anyway. I truthfully wanted to see what the Platinum Plan was going to be all about. It's going to be interesting to see what happens in 2024. You know, as of next year, you know, you're going to start to see everything kind of take form as far as who's going to be the candidate. Is Trump going to come back or whatever, run again? Or if not, then who's going to be representing the Republican Party? It's just, you know, like I said, it's interesting times. But all I can say is financial literacy, you know what I'm saying? And that's the one thing I got out of the Platinum Plan, you know what I'm saying? I'm putting that, the Platinum Plan, just in my own life or whatever. But it would have just been interesting to just see that as a whole. But anyway, you know, I digress. So, switching gears, I just want to lighten the mood up a little bit. You know, that whole Roe versus Wade is real complicated at this point. But, you know, as this this story continues to unfold, of course, in the world-famous chop-up. I will keep the people posted. But just a couple quick things now. One story I wanted to get into that just kind of blew my mind, man. It kind of caught me off guard. So I got to just paint the picture out there for the people. So me and my wife's guilty pleasure, right, when we like chilling and we just want to relax, you know what I'm saying, enjoy each other's company, we watch our reality show, you know what I'm saying? And I'm going to be honest, man. I like the quote-unquote, they say it's ratchet, but I like my Love and Hip Hop, man. I ain't going to lie. I like my Real Housewives of Atlanta, you know what I'm saying? To me, I think they're just some entrepreneurial women getting to the bag, you know what I'm saying? I respect that. And Black Ink Crew, right? And Black Ink Crew, you know, and Black Ink Crew has, like, really just took you know, it really just came up, you know what I'm saying? Big shout out to Caesar. I'm going to get into his whole situation and what I think about this. But, you know, just to set the people up there. So Black Ink Crew started, you know, in Harlem with, you know, a tattoo shop in Harlem. Became a TV show. And then from there, it went to Chicago. They started like a Chicago branch. It's called Nine Mag out there in Chicago. But it was still under the whole Black Ink Crew umbrella. And then from there, it went to Compton. This is a guy named KP. I think they call him Compton or whatever. So West Coast, you know what I'm saying? They doing their thing. Started to, you know, he opened up the shop out there or whatever. But Caesar was kind of like the don of the whole thing because he was like the original owner of the first one. And then just on his own, because you saw how the Black Ink Crew just came a brand. And I was like, man, I hope he... You know, just looking at him, I was like, damn, man, I hope he's smart about it and really, you know, make sure that he brands it and they don't, like the, let the TV show or the network take this brand. Because, you know, there was, even though these tattoo shops was called something else and, you know, had separate owners, you know, it was still under the Black Ink Crew theme or brand as you watched it as a TV show. It was just the Chicago version or Compton version. I say all that to say this. I'm like, you know, watching something or whatever. My wife was probably on her phone, and she's like, "Oh man, did you just see what I just saw?" I'm like, "No." She was like, "Caesar got fired from VH1," and I'm like, "What?" And you know, if you follow the show, it's just ironic that now he would get fired. Now, supposedly, for the people out there, he got fired. I didn't see the video, but it's kind of like, I guess, Mike Vick type situation, but not the same. So, you know, anybody know Mike Vick, Atlanta Mike Vick, you know, he got caught up in a dog fighting scandal, lost like 2 years of his career, never got, you know, he when he went to Philly, he got his swag back, you know, for a couple seasons, but it was never like that Atlanta Mike Vick experience, you know what I'm saying? Because he had to sit down for a couple years due to the whole dog fighting ring or whatever. So anyway, fast forward, and now we got Caesar. And the reason supposedly why he was fired is because, I guess, his neighbor, you know, Ring, I guess that's a camera that, you know, a lot of people have, you know, on their front door, back door and stuff like that now if you have a house. Or so basically his neighbor, I guess, caught a video of Caesar hitting his dog with a chair. So I didn't even want to, you know, see the video and nothing like that. I'm just like, damn. But anyway, so he got fired. But the crazy part about it is, I would have thought he got suspended or something like that. And I'm not saying, you know, it's a dog, you know what I'm saying? And you know, he should have been definitely smarter than that. I don't know why he would do what he was doing. And I didn't see how vicious the video was, but I'm just like, damn, you know, this guy started this whole, like, conglomerate, you know what I'm saying, of just black tattoo artists. And it's just, sucks that now he loses his whole, I guess, his media presence, you know, basically. So I just thought that was real, real crazy. And then if you really follow the show, like me and my wife, I just finished up like the latest season. He was really, really like innovative and really trying to do the right thing, man, as far as black tattoo artists, you know what I'm saying? I only have one tattoo, but I just respect it, you know, so basically, you know, he just gave a voice to a lot of just black, a lot of jobs, a lot of opportunities for, you know, artists to just, you know, become tattoo artists or whatever. And what makes it, you know, just interesting to me, like, if you saw the show, like, he was, you know, the last episode, he had like all the tattoo artists from all the different shows come and compete and whatever. And then he was just showing how like how tattoos should be, how they can be done on like darker skin and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? It was just a lot of innovative things that he was putting out there. And then another thing that I think was interesting too was like it was one episode where he didn't want to go to the conventions anymore because he felt that the black artist wasn't being treated the same way at these conventions. So he like kind of boycotted and was, you know, I guess maybe he was looking to start his own convention. So it's just eager to see. And not to say, and if you watch the show, like some ratchet stuff happened at some of their conventions where it could have been warranted or whatever. But at the same time, you know, they are bringing a lot of viewership and a lot of people to the industry, you know what I'm saying? Fans and, you know, people that want to get tattoos that's of minority, you know what I'm saying? So it's just messed up that now, you know, he loses his whole, you know, media presence on VH1. So I just thought that was an interesting story that I just wanted to get to. So, you know, we'll see what happens. You know, I wonder how, like, they're going to, you know, keep it going with the Chicago version or with the Compton version and then being at the New York version. I'm like, man, so how is that even going to work? It's just like, you know, it's going to be interesting to see. But, you know, he did have a 10-year run. Everything happens for a reason. So, you know, it's going to be eager to see. But I'm just sad to, in a way, to see him go. But, like, you got to be careful out here. You got to move a certain way, especially when you get to a certain level, because you know, it's jealousy and, you know, people don't want to see you win. But, of course, you can't put yourself in certain predicaments. And I don't understand why, too. Just on a side note, you know, maybe this is me just being me or whatever. But why are we, you know, as black folks, man, it's like we always got them aggressive-ass dogs, man, pit bulls and stuff like that. Like, I get it, you know what I'm saying? But damn, you know what I'm saying? So, and then also, too, you know, like I'm kind of like all over the place with this. But I guess the story will come up. Like I said, I'm on the outside looking in with a lot of my topics tonight, but I'm just freestyling. So, like I said, bear with me. But we still don't know what the dog did to warrant him hitting the dog with the chair or whatever. You know what I'm saying? The dog could have bit somebody in the house or whatever the case may be. But moral of the story, man, be easy with these aggressive-ass dogs, especially having them in your house and all that other stuff or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Just, you know, I don't know. But just that's just a crazy situation. So moving on, I'm going to get into, like, the sports report a little bit. So couple topics that's in the news, you know what I'm saying? So the first one, Kyrie Irving, you know what I'm saying? So Kyrie Irving is in the news, man, and I got to give it to Kyrie, man. He knows how to get the people going, you know what I'm saying? Like, and the thing I was just really thinking of, because I got a love-hate relationship with Kyrie, all right? So I'm going to explain it. So the love part, like, man, when dude is on, and of course being from Cleveland, you know, Midwest, I'll never forget that magical year with him and LeBron bringing the title to the C-Town for the first time, and I couldn't even remember. You know what I'm saying? Like, not in my lifetime. You know, bringing a championship to Cleveland. You know, Cleveland is a sports town, so that was just very big. You know what I'm saying? So on that part, you know what I'm saying, when Kyrie's on, man, it's special. You know what I'm saying? Hit one of the biggest shots in finals history, man, and kind of sealed the deal. Of course, LeBron, the MVP, but Kyrie, you know, Kyrie was in the front seat. You know, LeBron was driving, but Kyrie was definitely riding shotgun on that championship. And then from there, you know what I'm saying, of course, he got the bag. You know, of course, I didn't see the movie, but what was it, Uncle Drew? And, you know, his status just went up to the point where you could look at their situation, and it was kind of like a Kobe Shaq, you know what I'm saying? So Kobe Shaq, the Lakers, you know, the early 2000 Lakers, right? Kobe, Kyrie's Kobe. Shaq was like LeBron, I guess, you know what I'm saying, if you just, you know, putting together as a duo, right? So, of course, you know, you win a championship, egos come into play. And now you're like, nah, I'm the man, you know what I'm saying? So now Kyrie goes to Boston. Boston's got a young team. Kyrie's like, yeah, you know, this is me. You know, I think I can bring this team to where it needs to be. You know, I'm the man here, though. And, of course, you know, he got busy for a minute. Didn't really do that in the playoffs or whatever. I don't know if he lost first round or whatever. Got hurt. And all of a sudden he got, you know, was starting to understand, like, damn, it's not that easy being a number one on a team. You know, being when you're a number one, you know, you're the guy on the team. Especially had a lot of young talent, you know, of course. Big shout-out to that Boston team that just lost in the finals. You know, big shout out to Ume Udoka, the coach. You know what I'm saying? Nia Long's husband. But you see the talent that it grew to, that it developed to. You know, when Kyrie was there, they were young. You know, so Kyrie kind of stunts growth a little bit because, you know, he's a ball hungry guard. You know what I'm saying? Like I always say, Kyrie is like that AI Kobe hybrid. You know what I'm saying? Offensively. So that doesn't work out, and, you know, he gets kind of sick of that situation. I think they both get sick of each other. Boston sick of him sick of Boston. So he's like, you know what? Let me see what's up. So then, of course, we got KD, you know, Golden State a few years ago. You know, we all remember when Toronto, you know, Kawhi Leonard, when Toronto, you know, broke through and, you know, because of injuries, mainly Klay Thompson and then, of course, Kevin Durant and, you know, Toronto wins the championship. So now KD, you know, that same year, he gets into it with Draymond Green, you know, or whatever. Draymond Green, I guess, remember, I think KD was like a last-second shot or something like that, and Draymond took the shot or didn't pass it to him or something like that, so he was tight. And, you know, KD called him out. You know, Draymond's a fiery guy. You know what I'm saying? Draymond didn't take to that too well. So, you know, of course, what happens, they get into it. He says, you know what, we good with or without you. You know what I'm saying? So basically, and that just kind of stung. So Kyrie's like, yo, AD, let's go to Brooklyn, man. Let's just do it like we, you know what I'm saying, like me, you, maybe James Harden going to come through. So look, anyway, I don't want to go into a long story, but you know the history. So basically, Brooklyn, fast forward, we get Brooklyn, and then, of course, you know, COVID hits. And so this is the part. I said a love-hate relationship with Kyrie. So the part that I dig about Kyrie is he's his own man. You know what I'm saying? He can't be controlled. And he knows how to use, saying, like, I got the skill. You know what I'm saying? I got the championship. I know. I'm a smart guy. You know what I'm saying? You can't just say certain things and just think I'm just going to just roll with it. You know, I'm a thinker. So that part I dig about him, the part that I dig how he can't be controlled. But then again, me personally, I look at things from all angles. And I like to look at it, you know, I consider myself a businessman in my own right. You know what I'm saying? I want to take it to different levels, and that's what I'm striving for, you know, striving for perfection. You never reach it, but, you know, striving for it. So I, you know, a lot of people, when, you know, we talk basketball, we talk hoops, we talk football and sports, a lot of people relate to the player, and I get that. I relate to the player a lot, you know what I'm saying, because, you know, of course, I see the talent, like, damn, you know what I'm saying? And then again, the fan in me too, you know what I'm saying, because, you know, when your team wins, it's just a good feeling. You know, when the Cavs won back in the day, when my Browns is on point, you know, I'm going to talk about Deshaun Watson a little bit later, you know what I'm saying, but, you know, it's a good feeling. But I really like just being the older I get, I love business, man. I'm starting to love just business more and more, man. I love the power in a way, you know what I'm saying? And, of course, people can misuse their power, you know what I'm saying? But I love the business part of it. And I kind of love the savageness part about it, man. That's my Leo in me. That's the fiery part about me, man. I love the savageness in a way, you know what I'm saying? So I look at it from the owner's point of view. So I always kind of look at it from that angle too. So if I'm an owner, I'm like, nah, I can't, because, you know what I'm saying, I can't, you know, Kyrie looking to re-up and then contract negotiations, but I can't trust Kyrie, man. You know, in essence, I can't control him. You know what I'm saying? So because I need to know where my team is going, I need to know if KD is healthy and blah, 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 we should be able to compete for a championship. Now, first off, I don't like Steve Nash being the coach of the Nets. That's a whole nother can of worms right there. But, you know, if I'm ownership, I can't commit to Kyrie, man, long term with this. You know, I at least got to see a season of him consistently being there. Let's see how far you can go in the playoffs. Let's see if you stay healthy before I can commit to that. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, if I'm Brooklyn, I'm not giving them the bag. You know what I'm saying? Hopefully I can rectify it with KD, but that's where it is. So, you know, one of the couple teams, you know, I guess Kyrie put in a list of teams And, you know, I might be getting a little offbeat, but I know some of the teams that I heard, that I've just been heard of in the mix. Of course, the Lakers, you know, LeBron, they got to get back on track. You know, AD, you know, he's a fragile guy, you know what I'm saying? And they didn't even make the play-in tournament. So, of course, they're gonna see if they can, you know, see what they can do. I wouldn't mind seeing Russell Westbrook in Brooklyn. I really wouldn't. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think at least I know what I'm getting. I, you know what I'm saying? I know Russell Westbrook. He done been on a new team each year for the past, what, four years or maybe 5 years now. You know what I'm saying? But I know what I'm getting. And I think he could be good for Brooklyn. Like, every night, him and KD reunite, see what Ben Simmons can do. You know what I'm saying? See if they're going to bring Steve Nash back as a coach, maybe. Maybe something, you know, something can click. But I would like to see that. And maybe, you know, I would like to see, you know, a KD, Russell Westbrook reunion, and then let's see a Kyrie, LeBron reunion, you know, in L.A. Let's see if they can capture that magic that I was talking about that they did with Cleveland. So that would be an interesting scenario. So, and then the salaries probably would match up if they would do it, but Is Brooklyn willing to take on Westbrook? You know, because Westbrook had a down year, you know, and Westbrook is getting older. Possibility, maybe. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't be surprised if that happened. Another scenario, I think, you know, he threw this out there. He said Dallas. I know that's one of the teams he had put on the radar. I think he said Dallas, Miami, and some of the teams that I didn't really see coming. I'm like, all right, I guess, you know, I could see both of those scenarios. You know, I could see Dallas, possibly, but I don't know with him and can't think of the name right now. But you already know, you know what I'm saying? You know, Dallas, the Mavericks, and wow, I did my mind just went. It's gonna come to me, but you know what I'm talking about? The superstar in Dallas, young pudgy kid doing his thing, Euro guy. Or is he going to go to the Miami Heat? You know what I'm saying? Pat Riley, coacher. But the scenario I would probably like the most, and this is going to sound a little crazy, but I would like to see Kyrie in the Knicks, man. I think that could work. You know what I'm saying? Kyrie just has that New York type of game. And, of course, the Knicks, they seem to always get that superstar that's maybe on his last leg. I think Kyrie's got a little bit more to the tank. And then, you know, with the Knicks, you don't have to be that superstar. Well, you need to be a superstar. You need to be box office, but they don't need to be a championship team. They just need to be a competitive team. If they can compete, make the playoffs, be competitive in the playoffs, that's good enough right now for New York. We would love that because, you know, I reside in Brooklyn. Been to a Nets game. I haven't been to one recently or whatever. You know, the energy's cool. You know, it's just cool, especially, you know, Jay-Z's in there. But Jay-Z's only going to come. You're only going to see Jay-Z at the game if the Nets is really doing big things. You know what I'm saying? But I say that to say this. It's still not the Knicks. Even though I love Brooklyn, you know, I can take a dollar bin right to the game. It's still not the Knicks. Because, and I was talking to my wife about this, too. She was asking me something. And I was just like, you know, because she was like, what's the whole thing about the Knicks and all this. And I was just like, you know what? Scenario I'll tell you that I told her was the Knicks, first off, they're going to, it's going to sell no matter what, because even if the Knicks is not good, the team that they're playing is still going to have people come to the games just to go to the games, you know, to an event and see if Steph Curry's in town, to see if Ja Morant is in town, to see if LeBron is in town. You know what I'm saying? So you're always going to get that. But, you know, if the Knicks can be competitive, that's always just a plus. Because with New York basketball, I'm talking about Knicks, not Brooklyn. New York basketball is on. That's like New York music. That's like Biggie coming back out. You know what I'm saying? Of course, that would never happen. But, you know, just imagine that. Like, that's like some real New York type stuff. You know what I'm saying? It's just the energy of the city just changes. And the other thing about the Knicks crowd is, you know, my favorite sporting event to go to in New York, you know, I'm a tennis guy, you know, I grew up playing tennis, is the U.S. Open. You know, the U.S. Open is in Queens. You know, it's a tournament. I'm going to see if I'll go this year. I haven't been in a couple years. But, you know, the COVID situation and all that. But, you know, that's at the end of August or whatever. But that crowd, that U.S. Open crowd, it's like a Long Island-type crowd, you know what I'm saying? It's like a waspy, you know what I'm saying, old money-type crowd. That's the same crowd you get at the Knicks game, same exact crowd. So, you know, I think Kyrie, you know, could be good for that, you know what I'm saying? And but this is going to be interesting, you know what I'm saying? So we'll see how that happens. So Kyrie Irving, where will he end up? So, you know, only time will tell. So that's that. Switching gears, now, you know, I was talking Cleveland sports. So of course, I shouted out the Cavs squad that took the title, you know, what was that, 2016. Now, switching gears to football, man. So here we go. So football, Deshaun Watson, close to the end of the road as far as, like, this whole controversy, you know what I'm saying? And not to downplay whatever Deshaun Watson may or may not have done, you know what I'm saying? Because if he did do something, you know, that made a female feel uncomfortable, or if he, you know, did some of the things he was accused of, I'm not condoning that behavior whatsoever, you know what I'm saying? So I just want to say that first and foremost. But I got to say this, man. Like, you know, on my Twitter feed, I say best sports analyst on Twitter, you know what I'm saying? I say that for a reason. Because just like this show, if you listen to this show compared to any other shows, the reason why I love doing this show, big shout out to Black and what we do here, is like we give it to you live and uncut, man, raw. You know what I'm saying? We're not going to give you the politically correct answer. You know what I'm saying? We're going to give it to you just, you know, from our point of view, but it's going to be raw and uncut. So with that being the case, I've noticed, you know, because I always like to see, you know, I always like to keep my ear to the street. So I watch, you know, sports shows and stuff like that. I like to just see what people's talking. But I just see every so-called football analyst, they just jumping on the politically correct view of Deshaun Watson. Oh, yeah, he should be suspended for a year, and you know what I'm saying, or maybe even more. And, you know, how could the Browns do something that's despicable, and like, wow, you know, and all this and that, that and this. My whole thing is this, man. You got to understand it's a business, and, you know, it's the name of the game is winning. And, you know, Cleveland, you know, a couple years ago when we beat Pittsburgh, big shout-out to Baker, you know what I'm saying, he did bring us our first playoff win, and I don't know how long, you know what I'm saying. You know, Cleveland's got one of the best sports fandoms in the country, but, you know, our sports teams don't always, you know, they don't always live up to the hype. I'm going to be honest, I know that. But we're trying to get it together. You know what I'm saying? We're trying to get our, you know, our ducks in a row. You know what I'm saying? So it ain't nothing like the Browns. You know, big shout out to Cavs and LeBron when they won. But it ain't nothing like the football, our Browns. You know what I'm saying? Like that's the heart of the city of Cleveland or whatever. So anyway, I say that to say this. Deshaun Watson, he definitely did. I mean, of course, it, quote-unquote, wasn't technically a suspension, but he didn't play the whole year last year. You know what I'm saying? And I will, you know, let me point out this. This is a civil suit, not a criminal suit. So it's not like it's jail time or anything like that. It's civil, meaning that they're trying to get him for his money. You know what I'm saying? They, a lot of these women, they saw the contract or whatever, and that's what it is. They want to get paid. It felt like, you know, there was some harassment going on. And once again, I'm not condoning it, but they want to be paid accordingly for however they felt. You know what I'm saying? Like if they was put in a compromising position or whatever, they want to get paid for, you know, what happened and how he got out of pocket. Long story short. So, you know, I think, personally, I think, what is it, 17-game season now with NFL? So I think he gets 8 to 9 games. I'm not sure. Either 8 or 9 games. I don't think it's going to be a year. I may be wrong, but I don't think I think it's going to be 8 or 9 games. Only because, like I said, he didn't play all last year. He is now 20 of the 24 civil suits that was filed against him. 20 of them have settled. So now he's just got 4 more. So like I said, that's why I said it's a light at the end of the tunnel. So I do think Deshaun Watson will be suiting up, you know what I'm saying, so this season. So, you know, but now we got to see what's going to happen with Baker Mayfield. So that's going to be interesting. But big shout out to our GM. What's his name? Andrew Berry, Harvard educated. And he's definitely going to sit down to Baker and let Baker know, look, hasn't been a market for you. So with that being the case, you know what I'm saying, we was trying to trade you or whatever. Didn't happen. I think the Atlanta Falcons need to step up and see what's up with that. But, you know, I digress on that. I think that's the only fit that I can see Baker right now that's not Cleveland. Maybe Pittsburgh would have been good, but, you know, we all know Pittsburgh drafted a quarterback. They signed a quarterback in free agency. Pittsburgh's all set. That would have been kind of interesting, too. But I can see Baker for some reason in Atlanta. Atlanta's got a nice freaking tight end, you know what I'm saying, young tight end. I can see that wave. I can see Baker in that Southern, you know, Falcons black uniform. For some reason, I think it just goes. It just fits him, fits his personality, you know what I'm saying? You know, so, but yeah. But anyway, so Andrew Berry, in my opinion, I think is going to go to Baker and be like, look, man, check it. You know, like, there's not a market for you. This is a chance for you to get back out here, see what you can do. And then if you win, of course, everybody's going to come knocking. Then you'll just have your choice. So I think you're going to G that. Now we'll see if that happens. We did sign, once again, my notes are kind of off to tonight, but we did sign another backup QB. It was the backup QB, the black dude, man. It was the backup QB in New England. But he was like the third string when he was in New England and won a couple games. I think he went to Indianapolis for a year or whatever. But anyway, they signed him. He's a good backup quarterback, but, you know, we can't have him starting the whole season. We need Baker, and we truly need Deshaun Watson. So, you know, it's going to be very interesting. But I definitely think Deshaun Watson, I think, it's, you know, once the last four get resolved, then I think, you know, the suspension will come down. Like I said, I'm leaning towards 8 games because, you know, of course, you got to send a message. You know, if you're the NFL, you got to be like, look, man, we can't have that type of shit going on, man. Like, you're a high profile quarterback in this league, bad for business. You know what I'm saying? You got to move different. So, you know, don't let this happen again. So, you know, I think that's definitely going to happen. So, you know, that's that. So let me see here. What else we got to lose? Last little sporting kind of tidbit that I think is interesting. I'm gonna go into some maybe, you know, cover a couple of music things. Yeah. So another kind of interesting topic is the. I don't follow golf like that, but I think this is kind of an interesting subject. This whole LIV tournament or LIV golf league or whatever. And once again, I'm on the outside looking in. So, you know, I just I might see something that I think is interesting. I jot it down. And then I'm like, you know what, let me just bring it to the world-famous chop-up. The world-famous chop-up and, you know, give my 2 cents on it. And then, of course, you know, any callers out there, you know, feel free to, you know, conversate on this if you you know, feel the need. If you, you know, think I'm seeing something that's kind of interesting, you want to bring your point of view. But anyway, this whole PGA versus LIV golf. So, like I said, I don't follow golf like that. Tiger Woods, when he was younger, you know, I started getting into watching Tiger Woods, and then he hurt his knee and it was never the same. And then, you know, so that was it when I was starting to be trying to become like a slight golf fan or whatever. But anyway, this LIV tournament or this LIV golf, whatever you want to call it, first off, it's got a cool name, LIV, LIV. Whenever you spell it that way, that's just cool. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to my homie Bravo. He's got some type of business. He calls it LIV or whatever. You know what I'm saying? But I always like the way those letters just come together like that, LIV and then golf. It just sounds cool. It looks cool. You know what I'm saying? PGA looks older and like just old, like some Jack Nicklaus golf. LIV looks like it's some new, like, you know, if I get my money up, you know what I'm saying, and I start golfing, like LIV. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. Just got a ring to it. But of course, and it's backed up by, like, Saudi Arabia. So, you know, they got that Arab money out there, man. So, that oil money, you know what I'm saying? So, now I'm thinking of and then, you know, it seems like these tournaments that I've been hearing about has been, like, in England, it's in Europe, it's real Euro. And then, you know, of course, you know, they're going to probably have something in, like, Dubai or whatever. So, it just sounds just cool, man. And then, you know, big shout out to, you know, Colin Cowherd. I was, you know, watching his show and he was talking about it, and he made a couple of points that makes perfect sense. I mean, like, if you're a golfer, you're an independent contractor. It's not like you're like in a league or nothing like that. So PGA just organizes the tour or whatever. So now these golfers, if you can get just as much money with this whole other one, why do you need the PGA? So I just think that's interesting, man. So this goes to show you, like, nowadays with the way times and technology is changing, you can't get too laxed. You know what I'm saying? Because it's a lot of new money coming out there, and, you know, they looking at your league or how you doing things, and if they can do it better, they're gonna add their sauce to it and see. You know what I'm saying? I think this is a perfect thing, because I think this could be interesting. This got me kind of interested now. You know, like, if I'm at home and I'm surfing through the channels and I see a live golf tournament, I'm like, okay, let me check it out. You know what I'm saying? I think it's just gonna, you know, I think it's different. So, yeah, so that's that. Also, too, you know what I'm saying, I see the homie Smooth ain't calling. You know, he'll probably, you know, call back in next week. And just for, you know, I got to keep it spicy, you know what I'm saying, for my, you know, because we cover all types of shit here, man. And, you know, Real Adult Talk, you know, if you go to the Twitter page over there, it's always a little crunk. You know what I'm saying? My Mo Benz Twitter, that's always, you know, that's me. That's me. That's really me. But the Real Adult Talk is where, you know, I like to flourish sometimes. You know what I'm saying? So big shout out to, you know, all the OnlyFans women out there, whatever. Definitely going to have my top 10 list that I'm putting together. You know what I'm saying? I'm just getting in the right mix. I'm going to bring it to the people out there. You know, of course, I did my top 10 adult starlets in the game last year. You know what I'm saying? I got a lot of good feedback on that. And we want to get some guests, man. We want to get some more sexy women back on the show. You know what I'm saying? That's another thing that we like to bring to you, Real Adult Topics. And, you know, this is the one show here, too, where we like to bring light to the adult game. You know what I'm saying? Because, of course, I like to talk my sports. I like to talk my music. But I also like the adult industry, man. It's just, you know, and nobody's really doing it. And, you know, I like to keep it a little separate here. That's why, you know, like, this is just a forum where they can come in and, you know, talk their stories. You know, we had guests over the years that came through and, you know, told their stories. And it was always just interesting, man. So definitely going to, you know, I definitely got that coming, you know what I'm saying, before the summer's over. I just want to make sure I do it right, you know what I'm saying, so we can definitely get that energy going. And they got the Twitter spaces on blast, too, you know what I'm saying. So shout out to that. They just got their whole forum. They get into the bag, you know what I'm saying. It's not the conventional way of getting to the bag. They get into the bag in their own way. And, you know, I like to just shine light to anything that I think is interesting, man. So big shout-outs to that. Speaking of the whole adult industry, P-Valley. I haven't got a chance to check out the new season of P-Valley. I've been hearing good things about it. Yeah, man, I can't wait to get it. I'm going to chill. I'm going to let the episode stack up a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Because I had to cancel out my cable not too long ago. I just got tired of paying for it or whatever. So I was getting my Stars and my Showtime for free. And then, anyway, I just got tired of having it. It was a whole situation. But I'm going to just let the P-Valley episodes just stack up. I've been hearing good things about it, too. And I was talking to, like, you know, an associate of mine. And, you know, we were just chopping it up. And she was, like, putting me on about the show. And one of the interesting, because I saw, like, the previews for P-Valley, I'm like, oh man, this looks like it's gonna be pretty good. But like I said, I don't want to just jump on and just, you know, order it or whatever. And, you know, it's just not the right time yet. Like, let me just, I already got some other shows that I'm watching right now, so let me just wait. And that way, by the time I do, you know, order my Stars, they'll have all the episodes there and I can just binge watch. But anyway, long story short, there's a actress, anybody that watches Snowfall, and of course Snowfall, always big that show up, man. Great show. They shout out to John, rest in peace to John Singleton. But that's for the people out there that's not hit the Snowfall, it's on FX. And John Singleton, you know, was the creator of it or whatever. But anyway, it's this one actress on there that I saw that was on Snowfall, and now she's on P-Valley. And the interesting part about her was, like, on Snowfall, I mean, she's, you know, she's like a crackhead or whatever, but she gets reformed, though. That's the good part about it is she was like a, you know, fiend crackhead or whatever, and she plays that role very good, but then she got a life together. You know what I'm saying? This last season, she you know what I'm saying, she straightened out. But then, you know, I was seeing the previews for Pete Valley, and I saw her. And the thing that like sticks out on, and it's beautiful, is her lips, man. Her lips. Like, if you just see this actress, it's like she got the sexiest lips ever. You know what I'm saying? So when I was just describing, I was like, oh, man, I saw the previews, and it's got, like, one of my, you know, one of the actresses that I like on Snowfall, she's going to be on Pea Valley. So I guess, you know, for anybody out there who hasn't seen Pea Valley, like a stripper show down south. It's like this gay dude who used to run the owner or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I ain't knocking it or whatever. You into what you into, but it's funny, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not trying to be, what's the word I'm looking for? Homophobic or nothing like that. You know, like, you know, on this show, it's got some of that stuff on there, but you know what I'm saying? Like, it's done in a way where, I don't know, it works for the show. I'm not condoning it or nothing like that, but it works for the show. But anyway, I guess in Pea Valley, they got one of the girls, this a new stripper that's coming to the is going to be coming to the to work at the club or whatever. And when I was talking, I was like, oh man, you know, somebody was putting me on, telling me about it, and I was like, oh, you know, I haven't seen it yet. But you know, this one girl that was on Snowfall, she's on Pea Valley, and I'm like, she got lips. And then when the person was telling me about it, she was like, oh yeah, they call her DSL. And I'm like, DSL, what that stand for? And it was like, you know, dick sucking lips or whatever. But I guess that's her whole thing on the show. So I guess, so she got a whole, like, kind of like, I guess her storyline is kind of like that. So I don't know. It's kind of interesting. It's just interesting that I didn't even know that was going to be her storyline. But that's the thing that caught me with her lips. But anyway, Pea Valley looks pretty good, man. I can't wait to get caught up on that. Also, I still got to watch Power Magnum Force. That's Tommy's joint from Power. So that already ended, so I got to get caught up on that, man. So, you know, when I do get my stars, definitely got some joints to just zone out to. And then also, too, what else? The Shy. That's another good one. So, you know, The Shy is about to be coming back on Showtime. So it's just funny how, like, movies, man, right? Like, movies, I mean, not movies. These TV shows are, like, the way that, you know, I anticipate the TV shows like I used to anticipate movies. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I, like, you know, I definitely want to see Top Gun, but I haven't got a chance to see. So I watched, you know, the first Top Gun, and that kind of, like, held me down. And, you know, one day on cable, I don't even know if I'm going to get to the movies, man. I've been so busy. Just don't even have just too busy to even go to the movies nowadays. You know what I'm saying? I do like kind of just seeing it just on my TV. You know what I'm saying? That's the one cool thing that kind of happened with the whole COVID situation, how movies got switched up. But I was, Top Gun had me for a minute. I still might go to the movies and see it if I get some free time. But anyway, you know, it's just interesting now how, like, the way we used to anticipate movies is the way TV shows are. Now, especially, like I said, if you just let them stack up and you binge watch it, of course, Netflix, they already come like that. So, and speaking of Netflix, another show I've just been zoning out to for the people, I can't wait to talk to my homie Lump about this, because I know he was into this show, but Ozark. That's why I'm like, you know what? I don't need stars right now. I don't need stars right now. I don't need Showtime right now. I can wait because Ozark is holding me down. And that's what I love. Like, I love, like, you know, sometimes, you know, if the timing is right, then of course I'm watching it week to week or when it first comes out or whatever. But this is why I'm not so thirsty to just be like, oh man, I got to get it to, you know, to start watching it or whatever. Because when you do finally watch a show that you've never seen and it's already had like four seasons, it's like, oh man, like, you know, you just, my free time, I just got it queued up. Like, as soon as I probably finish today, since I had such a busy day today, as soon as I, you know, finish this show, I'm going to probably just relax and watch an episode of Ozark. So anyway, finally got around to watching Ozark. Probably started about a couple of weeks ago. Big show, man. Awesome show. Awesome show, man. Two thumbs way up. Jason Bateman, always been one of my favorite, well, I don't know. I would never say call him one of my favorite actors because I haven't really seen him in nothing like that. But it was just always something about him. I know he was the brother of Family Ties back in the day, and Family Ties was one of my favorite shows. Big shout-outs to Michael J. Fox. What was his name? Alex P. Keaton. You know what I'm saying? Always liked his whole swag, even back in the 80s. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, he's always about his money. You know what I'm saying? Alex P. Keaton. But I remember his sister was on the show. And then I remember, you know, in the 80s, you know, he was used to being a lot of the 80s movies that I used to like. But anyway, so now he's on Ozark. Him and my other guy was Patrick Dempsey. Yeah, Jason Bateman, Patrick Dempsey. They used to have all the 80s movies I used to like. But anyway, Ozark. And he's kind of like my age in a way, you know what I'm saying? So I can kind of relate to him, you know what I'm saying? I remember his 80s movies and, you know, all the way up until now. And I can just kind of relate to him for some reason. So, and then I like how he's about his money, even though, you know, it's a little corrupted, but it's still really good, man. Awesome show. The other part I like about it is the accents, man. And it takes place in the Ozark. And I was Googling, like, is Ozark a real place? You know what I'm saying? I never heard of it until this. But apparently it is. It's like some lakes. It got created, man-made, you know, by this dam that was like in the Missouri River or something like that. So it's like this lake down there or whatever. Just an interesting concept for a show. But what's cool about it is they got like hillbillies and rednecks there, you know what I'm saying, supposedly from the show. But the accents, man, the accents, they got this one girl, Ruth. Her accent, man, is the funny, and her whole family, you know what I'm saying? All the accents is crazy funny, man. I haven't heard good accents since True Blood, you know what I'm saying? Them Southern accents or whatever, but that's not even really Southern, it's like Midwest, somewhat, it's country accents, man. But anyway, man, awesome show. Like, I'm in, season 3 maybe right now? No, I'm at season 2. I'm almost finished with season 2. So I definitely just vibe into that. So, yeah, man, Ozark is another good one. Let me see here. So what else, you know, I got in the news. Another thing that I thought was interesting, man, I got about 20 minutes left in the show, so trying to think what else I'm going to get into. So another thing interesting that I thought was one other quick review while I'm talking about Netflix, and I'm going to get into, like, my whole music report, man, because I got to talk about the verses. I didn't see the verses, but I'm going to talk about the verses a little bit. You know, I got to get a – you know, stay up on these current events for the people out there. But another just movie I got a chance to watch, you know what I'm saying, while I was just relaxing after I handled my business. I'm like, oh, shit, this is on Netflix. It's Menace to Society, man. One of my all-time favorite movies. Like, definitely, like, top 5, man, of my favorite movies of all time. You know what I'm saying? I know Boys in Hood came out. Boys in Hood is, you know, one of my favorite movies, too. But it's like, it seemed like Menace to Society slightly topped Boys in the Hood. Even though when I go back, they're probably neck and neck now. But I know I used to, as younger, I used to like Menace to Society a little bit more. I don't know, because it was newer, I guess. But then Boys in the Hood, when I watched that again, I mean, you got Ice Cube, Doughboy, Cuba Gooding Jr. That was the only movie I really liked him in. And then, of course, Lawrence Fishburne. I mean, that movie's dope too, you know what I'm saying? Morris Chestnut, of course. But then Menace, it's just something about Menace, man. You know, Kane, Old Dog, man, it's just MC8, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know, Jada Pinkett, you know what I'm saying? This was young, fine Jada Pinkett too, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, man. So anyway, Menace to Society is on Netflix, man. So that shit was just dope, just watching Menace to Society on Netflix, being able to just pause it, stop it, you know what I'm saying? Just 2022 technology as opposed to VHS tape when it first came out. So I just thought that was dope. And it was interesting, too. And if you get a chance and look at Menace to Society on Netflix, they added a little something. You know how, like, Menace to Society, right, the way it's, like, the promo or the way it's, like, written, you know what I'm saying? It's like the Menace, and it's, like, in blue and black letters or something like that, because I remember the soundtrack, too. And it's, like, Menace. And then it had the 2, but it had, like, the Roman numeral 2 and then Society, right? I did notice when you watch it on Netflix and you pause it, they added, like, 2 guns, like, where the Roman numerals is. I was like, what the hell? I'm like, all right. That was just weird and interesting all at the same time. But anyway, Menace Society on Netflix. Yeah, man, so definitely, especially if you younger and you never saw that movie, man, it's like a rite of passage, man. You got to see Menace to Society, man. You got to see that. You got to see Lorenz Tate, a young Lorenz Tate as Old Dog, man. It's like the best. And Kane, you know, he wasn't in nothing else, but he's a belly. But, yeah, man, just classic performance, man, all the way around. And then the music just takes you back, man. You got the R. Kelly songs, you know what I'm saying? That's my type of R&B. Yeah, man, just some of the, you know, they start off with the one Ice Cube track, that doom. I remember my big shout out to Cleveland Heights, man, my high school, you know what I'm saying? When the basketball teams would come out, they used to play that beat with the band or whatever. But anyway, just takes me back, man. It's very nostalgic. So that's that. Another thing we got in the news real quick, and I don't know if this is true or not. I just heard this, and I'm like, wow, man, like, say it ain't so, but, you know, things do happen. But Migos is breaking up, like, for real, like, is that really happening? You know, big shout out to Migos. You know, music changes so much, but, you know, Migos definitely had a wave, from about 2017 to, you know, probably as recent as last year, man. They had a nice long, like, a nice four or five-year run of hits, man. But big shout-out to Migos, Quavo, Offset, Takeoff. And I guess they all just kind of, you know, Migos as a group blew up, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, ever since Bad and Bougie, man. They had a couple of the Versace songs before that, but Bad and Bougie, I mean, when they played that on Atlanta, shout out to Donald Glover, that really just took their whole stardom to a whole nother level or whatever. And it was on like one of the episodes of Atlanta when it first came out. But anyway, man, and they had that Bad and Bougie album, and then the album after that, then they had another album. So they had about three, four albums, man. You know, hit albums or whatever. And then they all had solo albums. It was pretty good too, man. Quavo, Offset, Takeoff, man. All three of their solo albums were pretty good, man. I was kind of vibing to all three of them. And then, of course, you know, once you blow up, you get to romance. You know what I'm saying? You get to, like, dope little R&B chick, or you get the little rap chick. You know what I'm saying? So Quavo, I know he didn't, you know, had a couple. And then, of course, Offset with Cardi B, you know what I'm saying, had a couple kids and seemed like she chilling. Because, what, Cardi B, she had that one album. That was it. She just cashed out, man. Got on Love & Hip Hop. Had a hit album, met Offset, got married, had a couple kids, and she like, I'm good. You know what I'm saying? And so anyway, it's interesting to see. Maybe it's just some hype, make you think they're breaking up, and then all of a sudden they come back with the reunion album or whatever the case may be. But I just thought that was interesting. Like, damn, man, y'all really breaking up? So we'll see if it's true. You know, we'll see what the future holds for them as a collective, or if they're going to go their separate ways. And Takeoff's album was, like, low-key pretty good, man. I think Takeoff might have had the low-key, the best solo album out of the three. Quavo had this one song with Madonna that was kind of interesting. And Offset had a couple joints. Offset's a really good, for a minute, he was really a good feature. You know what I'm saying? I know he had a joint with Lil Baby that was dope, I used to rock out to. But anyway, man, big shout-out to Migos. Now, just to take it back, you know what I'm saying? So we was, you know, I was just... real new era, you know, talking Migos. Now, got to take it back, man, to one of the classic albums. And now, I love what I do here, you know, in this space. Like I said, this is therapy for me, man. So, like, even, you know, my shows or whatever, man, I'll go back and listen to some of the shows, some of the topics that we discuss, man. It's like therapy for me, man. Like, you know, when we black and, you know, smooth and we get into our discussions or whatever, really get into some deep topics, man. So I always get a chance to just... Yeah, I love this show, man. You know what I'm saying? So this is why we do what we do. But I'm still a fan of certain other podcasts. And the only other podcast two podcasts that I really rock with, you know, almost as much as mine. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, damn, man, I like what they're doing over there. You know what I'm saying? One, you know, I zone out to my own type of shows, but it's this one show called Meat Eater. It's a hunting show. But shout out to Steve Rinella is his name. But, you know, he's got a dope podcast and a dope show. You know, it's on Netflix, man. It's a hunting show. Promoting a lot of people out here, too, man. That's why I got to, you know what I'm saying? We got to get some sponsors in here or whatever. But, you know, I like what I like, man. So I'm always going to just speak what I like. You know what I'm saying? It ain't always about the money with me, man. I just like to vibe on certain things and just have good convo with people that's into maybe some like-minded type of situations, man. But anyway, I still have to say this, man. I just want to big up Nori, man, Noriega. Just to see his whole, man, I'm definitely like a huge fan of this dude, man, since Capone and Noriega days, man. But just to see the way he's transitioned And the way he just shows love and, you know, everybody, man, he's just like, he's like the people's champ, man, as far as, like, media right now, as far as rap music, man. Nobody's doing it, in my opinion, like Nori, you know, as far as the podcasting space when it comes to interviews and getting interesting people and getting them to open up, you know what I'm saying? And so anyway, one of the episodes that I vibed out to, what was it, recently was they had the 25th anniversary of Capone and Noriega's first album, The War Report. And that's a low-key classic, you know what I'm saying? It came out in 1997. And, of course, you know, that was like kind of like towards the end of the what I call the golden era of rap music. I think 97 is like kind of like you saw it switching over to 98. That was kind of like the, well, 97, 98, that was like, well, maybe 96, 97, 98, that was like dark ages. I always call the golden era probably like from like 87 to like 95. To me, that's like the golden era, like, you know, so, of course, you know, as far as New York albums, you got Nas, Illmatic, which is still, that's still one of my favorite. That's one album that I don't get tired of listening to. Nas, Illmatic, The Chronic, Snoop Dogg, those are two albums, Ready to Die, Biggie, you know what I'm saying? Those three albums, like, I really don't get tired of listening to, you know what I'm saying? Like, I've played them consistently, but I always come back to a season where I get those in solid rotation again. You know what I'm saying? Those are like probably like my top three. You know, you could probably put an Outkast Southern playlist, kind of like music from the South, maybe some A-Ball MJG, that first A-Ball MJG coming out hard. But those are like the few like rap albums that I just do not get tired of playing, man. Like, it's always a season where I'm going to just zone out to those. Anyway, I say that to say this. One of the albums that's like kind of right beneath that. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't as groundbreaking as that, but it was pretty good. And then, of course, you know, what kind of set the tone for Capone and Noriega, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit later, is Mobb Deep. And I'm going to, you know, talk about some Prodigy or whatever a little bit later. But anyway, you know, of course, Mobb Deep, The Infamous, when that album came out, that was pretty, pretty dope. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, now, of course, the Prodigy has passed away, and big shout out to Havoc. It's like Capone and Noriega really like flourish now in a way. You know what I'm saying? Like, you really kind of appreciate them and not always comparing to Mobb Deep. So anyway, what was dope was, you know, of course, Drink Champs is huge now as far as, you know, rap interviews. You know what I'm saying? That they are literally like a magazine, him and his co-host EFN. But anyway, they did, you know, they had the War Report 25-year reunion. And what was dope, they just brought in all the people that contributed to that album. Of course, you know, had the co-star Capone and then Tragedy Gaddafi, who was like, you know, when they talk about that album, it was like, you know, Tragedy Gaddafi was like the heart and soul of that album, because, you know, he was like the leader. He was the one that kind of like found them and put them in position. So it was cool. And then, you know, they had Nori, you know, brought out some of the A&Rs, the guy from Penalty, like the owner of the label. So it was just a good combo. And you can see, it's just dope to see their growth, especially see Nori's growth, but to see their growth, you know, that they had. And then you can see the camaraderie. You can see how the realness, you know what I'm saying? You can see how, like, they was really living that life, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, if you go back to that story of, like, how that album came to be, you know, I remember, you know, just hearing Nori freestyles. You can see him bubbling or whatever. I remember L.A., the first time I heard that, I'm like, oh, shit. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, I used to love that New York. That was a banger. You know what I'm saying? New York, when that dropped, Snoop Dogg and Dog Pound Corrupt and Daz, that shit was Death Row. That shit was hitting. But then, all of a sudden, I hear L.A., and, you know, this is when that East Coast, West Coast started popping. And I'm like, oh, shit, you know what I'm saying? You know, it was like Prodigy, you know, her Havoc on there. But I'm like, oh, so two new guys, you know what I'm saying? Nori and Noriega and Capone. And then when T.O.N.Y. dropped, that was crazy, you know what I'm saying? So that shit was just dope, you know what I'm saying? And the War Report. And then, you know, if you really hear them talk about the story of how the album came to be, like, they met in jail, like, in, I guess, you know, at that time, Nori was in jail. He was locked up, and then he came home, and then, you know, they was locked up together, him and and Noriega. I mean, him and Capone. And then they both got out, and they started recording the album, and then Capone ended up getting locked up again. And then, you know, Noriega had to just kind of, like, hold the album down. But it's pretty much got done. But, you know, it was just dope the way, you know, even though Capone was locked up or whatever, they were still shooting the video. They had shot the video for, I think, T.O.N.Y. right before he got locked up. So and then the album was just like dope. You know what I'm saying? It was just like a real low-key classic. You know what I'm saying? It don't get mentioned with them albums I just mentioned, like some old, like the Wu-Tang, 36 Chambers, and, you know, the Raekwon's Only Built for Cuba Links. But it's definitely right there, man, 1997, man. Like, that shit was wavy. You know what I'm saying? The War Report. But anyway, it was just dope seeing them, you know, reminisce and talk about it. Talk about, you know, where they were. You know what I'm saying? It was cool. And then it's just interesting because even though, you know, Nori blown up with his Drink Champs thing, it's like once he gets around them dudes, he's right back to, you know, that 1997 Nori, you know what I'm saying, hungry and, you know, and then Gaddafi, you know what I'm saying? Like, he don't be taking no shit from Nori. Like, they go back and forth. They had their own little, like, kind of back and forth, man. It was just interesting. It was a dope interview, man. Just, it was nostalgic for me, man. So I had to go back and listen to that album. And then a low-key dope album was a sequel, man. The War Report 2, I think, came out like 2010. Very dope album. You know what I'm saying? You got features from Raekwon. Raekwon's on like 3 songs. You know what I'm saying? I'm not the biggest Raekwon fan like I used to be back in the day, but like as a nice little seasoning, like, well, on that album, he's good. Same thing with Busta Rhymes is on there. And it's just, it's, you know, it's just like a throwback album, but it still sounds new. So yeah, they just definitely did it justice. So anyway, so listening to that, interview and then, Nori talks about his whole, what was it? Then how, you know, kind of made Super Thug and then, you know, that was something kind of different or whatever. Then once I did that, I was like, you know what? Let me listen to the Pharrell interview. So then I was like, you know what? Listen to the Pharrell interview. And that's another dope interview. And it's just dope seeing Pharrell talk about Come On, Drink Champs, because of the whole Super Thug. And, you know, for people out there don't know, I'm in my rap radio bag. You know what I'm saying? Also right now, you know what I'm saying? I love talking about music and shit. But anyway, you know, Super Thug was like Pharrell's first big hit. You know what I'm saying? And that shit just started the whole Neptunes wave. And, you know, Nori, he always gives mad respect to, you know, to Pharrell for, like, you know, coming with something different. And then that really just sparked his solo career until, you know, and then he talks about how, like, it's just interesting hearing producers talk and, you know, get their point of view and then hearing the rapper. Because it's always like the producer is always like the director and then the rapper is the star, you know what I'm saying, like the star of the movie or whatever. So it's always dope to see how that came about, because, you know, the producer's always coming from like a Spike Lee or a Quentin Tarantino point of view, and that's where Pharrell was coming from. And he was just talking about how Nori was such a colorful personality that it just made it, like, dope, where he could have his own solo entity but still have his component Noriega as something else, you know what I'm saying, and still keep that as a foundation, man. That was just a cool interview, and like I said, I'm glad I waited. Because I didn't even watch the interview when it first came out, but I just listened to it like a couple of days ago because I, you know, just got through listening to the whole, you know, War Report reunion podcast, man. So it was just dope, like, kind of connecting the dots. Another thing that I thought was interesting too, when Pharrell and was on Drink Champs talking, and Nori told him that how Biggie had called him right before he died and wanted to be on that TONY. Wanted to be on, like, the TONY remix. So that just shows you, like, just how everything just connected the dots. I told you how they did the LA, and it was kind of like, you know, coming back to the New York. So that made total sense. So anyway, then today, as I'm, you know, handling business with my wife or whatever, so I was like, you know what, let me bring a book because I know we setting up shop at our pop-up, so let me just have something to read. So then, you know, got me in the mood because I got a nice little book collection, man. I got a nice library. And I always talk about how I kind of, like, had to get rid of a lot of books that wasn't, like, that I wasn't vibing to no more, and I kind of, like, condensed it down. But anyway, it really got me reading a throwback book that was dope. And I just read it off and on from here from time to time or whatever. Last time I read it was a few years ago, but I started reading the Prodigy, My Life book, My Infamous Life by Prodigy. So I was reading that today. It's interesting because I started reading that because Nori kind of talks about Prodigy and Mobb Deep a little bit and the component Noriega, how they used to get compared and all this other stuff. And to me, Nori always got like a little kind of sideways towards Prodigy. You know what I'm saying? And for some reason, a lot of people from Queensbridge, they got mad at Prodigy. That's why, you know, if you ever peep, you know, Prodigy had, especially when he first passed, I think he passed in like 2017, but it was a lot of murals that was put up, you know, in Prodigy. And they're like, you know, if you're in New York City, you always see any fallen rapper's got a mural somewhere, you know, especially from the place they're from. And in Queensbridge, they were supposed to, you know, it was about three of them that was done, and every one of them got the face, and that kind of pissed me off, man, because I'll fuss with Prodigy. I'm a big fan of Prodigy, man. Rest in peace. But the reason why this book is so good, and the reason why his mural always gets spray painted over, is because in My Infamous Life, he spills a lot of those Queensbridge secrets. And I remember there was one part, cause like I said, I read this book probably like, last time I read it was probably like, shit, man, probably like 8 years ago or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, I probably read, you know, when it first came out. But I remember it was a Nori story, and it was something crazy that happened with Nori. And I think he, you know, was pissed that Prodigy actually spoke about it and put it in the book. So that's, you know, just listening to all, like, this Capone Nori again, being on my, like, Queensbridge. I know Nori from Left Rack, but, you know, still that whole Queensbridge kind of joint, man. It's got me, you know, wanting to kind of revisit this My Infamous Life, especially since I'm in that kind of headspace. So anyway, this has been the world-famous chop-up. So, you know, this is what I do, man. Or this is what we do. This is what I do when it's the world-famous chop-up. But this is usually what we do every Sunday night, 9 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Check us out, man. Fuck with us, man. You know, this is what we do here. We keep it raw. You know, we talk our ish. So, of course, you know, if you dig the show, definitely follow the Twitter page, man. I keep a crunk on there, man. It's Real Adult Talk. That's spelled T-A-W-K. If you want to put a face with the voice, check me out on IG. Just keep it respectful. That's MoBins, M-O-B-I-N-S. Yeah, man, once again, man, we got big things popping over here, man, working on a lot of big things, man, to just, you know, broaden the spectrum, so to speak. So, yeah, man, so that's it, you know what I'm saying? You know, same time, same place next week. And until then, everybody be safe. Peace, peace, peace. Signing off.